You're listening to Rhema for Today.
Somebody said, I heard one preacher say, bless his heart, how stupid can you get? He said, well, you know, that didn't belong to Satan anyhow. It all belonged to God. He had just a line. Well, if that's the case, Jesus would have known it. It wouldn't have been any temptation here. The Bible said Jesus was tempted. There'd been no temptation to it if that had been the case. And that poor preacher preaching on the radio. Well, you can't believe everything you hear preached on the radio. There are some good things on there. My program, for one, you know.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
You wouldn't say God broke my leg, or God broke my arm, or God broke my neck, would you? Are you following me? See? Or God pushed me off of the roof, off of the house. God did it. No, God put into motion the law of gravity, but you violated it. Now, in the sense that God put it in motion, it is true. You know what I mean? In that sense, that God was the author of the law of gravity. But he didn't intend for you to get your leg broke. He didn't intend for you to get your neck broke. Or you to fall off. You either fell off because you got careless or just accidentally did so. Are you following me now? Well, now then, you see, when a lot of other things happen in life, people said God did it, like sickness and disease. Well, no, God didn't. It's because that man sinned, not you necessarily, but Adam did, and we fell heir to a lot of things. He didn't intend for us to be sick. Are you listening to me? It's because of sin, because of the devil. As John Alexander Dowie said, sickness is the foul offspring of his mother, sin, and his father, Satan. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, you see, God warned us these things are happening, but he didn't intend that we'd sin. He didn't intend that they would happen. But it's because that man listened to the devil. Now, we read here in this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians that Satan is the god of this world. Now, you know, he wasn't originally the god of this world. Adam was. See, God made the world. Go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And he made the world, the fullness thereof. And it was all good. All of it was good. Wasn't anything bad. And then he made his man Adam, and he said, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. That's over the earth and everything, you see. You dominate it. In other words, I'm going to make you God of this world. You run it. But then Adam committed high treason and sold out. Now, he didn't have the moral right to do it, but he had the legal right to do it. He sold out to the devil. And you see, the devil then began to dominate upon the earth because Adam had that ability because God had given it to him. But he sold out, you see. Adam sold out to Satan. And so then Satan became the god. We read it, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whom the god of this world has blinded their minds, Satan became the god of this world. Are you following me? Well, he's not our god. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So he don't have any right to dominate us. Here's some more scripture that would help you along that line while we're studying along that line. In this fourth chapter, Luke, and it will... explain a lot of things to us and why things happen. See, sometimes people say, oh, well, God will take care of it. They think they've turned things over to God sometime when actually they turned over to the devil. Don't know it. Now, notice here, in this fourth chapter of Luke, you'll notice that we'll just start with the very first verse. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now notice that. The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Talking about the kingdoms of this world. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Now get this. That's sixth verse, the rest of it. Now notice what Satan said. For that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But now I want you to notice that somebody said, I heard one preacher say, bless his heart, how stupid can you get? He said, well, you know, that didn't belong to Satan anyhow. It all belonged to God. He had just a line. Well, if that's the case, Jesus would have known it. It wouldn't have been any temptation here. The Bible said Jesus was tempted. There'd been no temptation to it if that had been the case. And that poor preacher preaching on the radio. Well, you can't believe everything you hear preached on the radio. There are some good things on there. My program for one, you know. But you just can't believe everything, you see. And I thought about that poor, stupid fella. Actually right there preaching, and yet he unconsciously was accusing the Lord Jesus Christ as perpetuating a fraud and become a partner to a lie and to being dishonest. Because if this wasn't a real temptation, then Jesus was dishonest. Amen. Isn't that true? No, you see, Jesus didn't dispute that for a moment, that that was delivered to Satan. Notice that Satan said, for that is delivered unto me. He didn't have it to begin with. It was delivered to him. Who delivered it to him? Adam did. Adam delivered it to him. And then you remember that the Bible tells us that when Satan is finally eliminated from human contact, or rather from the earth, that there'll be nothing that'll hurt or destroy. Praise God, that'll be a great day, won't it? But thank God, we don't have to let Satan dominate us now. Even though he is the God of this world, he doesn't have the right to dominate the church. He doesn't have the right to dominate us as believers. So then, my first point here was, our step is to recognize the source of the opposition always as being Satan. Too many people are ready to give up on something, you see. Okay, well, instead of recognizing that it's Satan that's trying to keep it from happening. Because, you see, a lot of things that we are praying about, finances, money, healing, so on, have to come to pass in this world realm. Are you following me? Amen. And Satan's at work there. He'll put up every block he can to keep it from happening. Amen. And sometimes if there's the least bit of delay, sometimes, well, some people say, well, maybe God don't want me to have that after all. Maybe that's not the will of God. And lose out and are defeated when they should recognize the source of all opposition is Satan. And not let Satan defeat them. Amen. Now, we read over there in the sixth chapter of Ephesians about this fact that it is Satan that we have to do with. This is the church at Ephesus that Paul is talking about. And so he plainly said, you know, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Oh, somebody said, I'm trying to be strong. Never said a word in the world about you being strong. That's where folks miss it again. They stop back in the natural and try to do it themselves. Never said in the word in the world about you as an individual being strong. He said, finally, that's the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Not the power of your might, but the power of His might. Hallelujah to Jesus. I use an illustration quite frequently. You know, we used to hear people, you know, in testimony meetings say, you know, pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. Bless their hearts. You know, and people were just working and struggling, you know, trying to hold on and trying to hold out. Didn't know whether they could or whether they couldn't, you see. But reminded me of a 1937, you know, when we as American government, we after the dirigible, you know, from Germany came over in 1936, and we had some experimenting dirigibles, you know, and lighter than air aircraft. And they had one up in Akron, Ohio that they was trying to moor to the mast, you know, tall steel tower. And they had about 200 soldiers, you know, that's going to hold these ropes, hold the thing down till they get it secured. And for some reason or another, suddenly that thing just shot right up in the air. And I saw a picture of it right on the front page of the Dallas Morning News. Some of these soldiers, you know, had presence of mind enough, and that thing shot, just turned loose of those ropes. Others didn't. And they was way up there in the air, and they couldn't hold on. Finally, their hands give out, and they fell and just plummeted to the ground and was killed instantly. A number of them were killed. I think there's 30-some-odd that were killed, and then a whole group more that was seriously injured, some of them critically. But this one old boy just kept holding on, it looked like. And finally, for about an hour and 45 minutes, they could see him up there dangling, just out of sight, looking like a little toy soldier, you know. So far out of sight, you know, people talking about how in the world that fella hold on like that. Well, he'll give out in a minute, you know. I mean, he's stronger than the rest of them. He held on longer than the rest of them. But you just can't hold on forever. And when he falls that far, man, there won't be anything left to him. Just a big splotch on the ground, you know.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's offer. First, we're offering Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book, The Untapped Power of Praise. Also, the USB drive, Healing, Peace, and Success by Kenneth E. Hagin and Lynette Hagin. Next in this radio offer is Craig Hagin's CD, What Do You Have on the Inside? Finally, we have Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Living a God-Conscious Life. All these items for the special price of only $45. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so email us today at partnerservice@rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
I want to talk to you. You hear me say all the time, thank you for helping us. I'm talking to our Rhema partners, the ones who have partnered with us. Well, what is a partner? It's someone that prays regularly for us and then sends an offering at least once a month, whatever they can afford to send, to help us support Rhema around the world.
Yes.
And you can, if you'd like to join, you can go to rhema.org/WPC and become a partner. And you that are partners, we really want to thank you.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free. 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.